Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at santafe radio cafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. I'd like now to welcome Carol Robertson-Lopez. She is a former city councilor, and she is here to help us introduce 9 women from the Middle East and North Africa who are passing through Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's certainly a delight to be here with this wonderful group.
Indeed.
These women have been in Washington, D.C. for the last 2 weeks studying at American University. 8 out of 9 of these women plan to run for political office, and they're all from Arab countries in the Middle East and North Africa.
And so they are passing through Santa Fe, passing through the United States, meeting political leaders here.
Yes, this is part of the Santa Fe Council on International Relations International Visitors Program. And what we do is, this is in conjunction with the State Department, that they bring groups to Washington, and then they want them to go out into the United States to cities such as Santa Fe. Santa Fe is a favorite city for them to send people to. And they're here in Santa Fe to observe the elections. We've had some fabulous meetings with the Secretary of State, our county clerk. It's been phenomenal to go around and watch our election process.
So let's start with Samer Fatani. She is from Saudi Arabia. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
And she's a radio journalist for Radio Jeddah. She's a columnist with ArabNews.com and an English language, so anybody who's listening now can read it. Tell us a little bit about the kind of radio broadcasting that you do.
Well, I present the news hour every Sunday and Tuesday. And I also have culture programs and a talk show host sometimes when we're campaigning for issues back home.
So you are running for political office?
No, but I hope so, because next year the municipal council will have its election soon, and so far women have not been included, so we hope that this year we will be included.
Tell us about the inclusion or non-inclusion of women in Saudi Arabia.
Well, it's a subject of great debate in our newspapers, and as a journalist, it is a hot topic and an issue that is ongoing. So hopefully we hope that we can have enough pressure on government to allow women to be able to participate in our elections.
What is the nature of the women's movement?
Well, we are facing a lot of resistance to change, and the integration of women in politics and into the workforce is something that is new in our country. But with our new king, King Abdullah, ever since he has come to the throne, he has been very supportive to women, and in all his statements and his speeches, he's always been supportive for women, and he has allowed women more opportunities in the workforce. And now you have women participating in state delegations, which is unprecedented before.
So he has allowed that, but there must have been a movement that came from women themselves in order to put pressure in the first place.
There is a movement. There's the educated, the percentage of women graduates is 53%. So we do have a large segment of educated women in society. However, they have been marginalized for a very long time. And now you find them more vocal and more eager to participate in our nation's building.
Tell us about education of women and men in Saudi Arabia. Is it segregated education?
It is, yes.
And so for you, you come from a family, a kind of international family, an intellectual family. You were educated in Saudi Arabia or abroad?
I was educated abroad. But the segregation in school is not an issue of debate. It's not one of our priorities. And you don't find that there are a lot of people who are against the fact. We have other more important issues to discuss, and that is to empower women and to allow women to be part of the decision-making process in our country.
And so in what areas are women entering? You're a journalist. You've been a journalist all your life, all your adult life. And what are some of the other areas into which women are making inroads in Saudi Arabia?
We have women now on boards, you know, CEOs, which was never done before, and that I think it's a great achievement. In our Chamber of Commerce now, we have women who are on the board, and as business women, they are working hard to find better services for women and better opportunities for them in the business field. We have also in the Journalists Association women on the board, in the medical profession as well. So I think, you know, I'm optimistic that women will be more effective and will have a greater role to play.
When you look at issues, for example, like domestic violence, are there ways that women can protect themselves? Is this an issue that comes up?
We have a newly formed human rights association that has been very active. And with the support of the media, we were able to expose a lot of human rights violations. And for the first time, you find that there's a hotline and a lot of these issues are being addressed. And there are homes for women and special family courts that have been established to protect these women and, you know, make sure that they have their rights.
So you come from a world yourself in which there is an ideology that men and women are equal, but in maybe other classes or sectors of society, that's not the case.
Definitely. It is an issue that is debated in our press today. And I think with the freedom of the press, that is very, you know, something that we cherish at this time. A lot of the issues that were taboo in the past are not so anymore. We even have a national dialogue center that has been initiated by King Abdullah. And I think that's a very positive step in which men and women from all sectors of society debate the issues and maybe come reach a consensus of what can be initiated in order to give more rights to women.
And so what are the things that are actually being debated? And I mean, is it about a woman's role, whether she should stay in the home, whether she should be just a mother and nothing else?
Some of these issues are debated, but again, like the issue of driving, for instance, the issue of having to have a special permission from the husband to travel, issues like her right to vote, her right to be part of the decision-making process in our country. Until today, we don't have women in government. We have women in institutions, academic institutions and associations and organizations, but still not in government. So these are some of the debates that are going on.
Let's bring in Dr. Khadija Al-Saban, who is a professor of linguistics. She's a poet, and she's a women's rights activist, also from Saudi Arabia. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here. Now, how do you see it? What, tell us about your work as a women's rights activist.
Let me first talk to you about my job as a professor. I'm now a retired professor, but before I was working in King Abdulaziz University, Faculty of Arts and Humanitarians. And I'd like to say something about the segregation in education. Really, we have, like in the universities, we have both women and men in the same university but separate campuses. And they receive the same curriculum, the same activities, in everything, but in separate campus. Like here, they have universities or colleges here for only for women. That is something similar. And that is goes also through the public the education and before the higher education. As I said, same curriculums, everything, they are equal in everything, but separate. They get their education.
Separate but equal, when you say that in the United States, raises red flags for people because we used to have, between the races, black and white, separate but equal, but they weren't really equal.
No, but here we want to because when you put young girls and boys, there is some studies, researchers say that there is, you know, it's better to get more, you know, attention.
It's better for women because they get more attention.
Yeah, more attention for getting their education. As a woman activist, if you want to me to talk about that, I am, as I said, I'm retired from my job in the university, but I have a lot of involvement in the social activities. I am a member of a committee. We have community centers in my city, which is Jeddah, in the west region of Saudi Arabia. We have that community centers. There is a consultant committee for give the we involved in that activities of the community centers, and we concern about supporting women to be awareness of her rights that our religion gave it to her, and but she doesn't get it.
What are some of the rights that you're... Tell us about your religion and the rights that it gives to women.
Yeah, some of the rights... my religion says the women and men are equals in everything.
In Islam?
In Islam, yeah. And our prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the last thing he told his people in the last speech to his nation, take care of the women. Be kind and nice to the women. But the men these days, they don't go, they don't follow this, you know. And even in the other things, they have to have equal salary, like that is going on there. The women and men, they have equal salaries.
So it's interesting. We were talking about this the other day when I first met you. You wear the headscarf.
Yes.
And you fight for women's rights. And that's something that probably Americans wouldn't think that you would be doing both of those things.
No, it goes. Because, you know, the scarf is kind of... You notice now, these days, especially the media, they make the women like, a doll. So I don't like that for me as a human being. I like to feel that I am a human being first before I am female. And I want the man to treat me in the light of this fact that I am equal to him. I am a human being as he. And I have I am not only a body.
And the scarf accomplishes that goal?
Yeah, because, you know, when you show your hair is half of your beauty. So I believe that all my beauty should be, this is, you know, that something I go for it. It's be for something, for somebody like my husband and, you know.
So it's about inner beauty, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
So we're just about running out of time. Is there anything that either of you would like our listeners to know about your work or about your country?
Well, I'd like to thank Carol for her really, the hospitality and the beauty of Santa Fe and the beautiful people of Santa Fe. We had a wonderful time, and it was a wonderful trip that we will always remember, and we'll take back beautiful memories back home.
Besides thanking Carol, I'd like to thank the State Department of the United States and the American University, because they give this opportunity to 44 women from different Arab countries to participate in the elections, United States elections procedures.
Samar Fatani is a radio journalist for Radio Jeddah, and she's an English language columnist at ArabNews.com. And Dr. Khadija Al-Saban is a professor of linguistics, a poet, and a women's rights activist, both of them from Saudi Arabia. Carol Robertson-Lopez, former city councilor, and she's with the Santa Fe Council on International Relations. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be right back. I'd like now, continuing in our conversation with Arab women from the Middle East and North Africa, to introduce three women from Lebanon. Let's start with Dunya El Kouri. She is founder and president of the Women's Association of Deir al-Ahmar, Beqa, Lebanon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
So tell us about your work in Lebanon. You are or have been in public office?
I am a founder and president of an NGO in Lebanon. It's a Women's Association of Deir al-Ahmar. And our work is on rural development, and we are working on capacity building for women, on issues, on environmental issues, and the tourism. I am still looking to be mayor for the next session.
So tell us more about, for example, the environmental issues and the tourism issues. It sounds like Santa Fe.
Of course, it's a continuity, because we cannot speak about tourism without speaking about environment. So we have a lot of awareness in our organization, working on awareness for the local community, for the schools, for the people. We have a lot of programs concerning the solid waste treatment. We have the programs concerning the energy, the biodiversity. So we have a lot of work that we are working to improve the quality of life through improving our environment. And the last project was to implement, because we built a center in our area, we implemented a solar energy system for heating and for hot water. As well as I want to say that our organization is the winner of Dubai International Award for Best Practices to Improve the Living Environment for the year 2002. It's an award that was been given to us from the United Nations. As well as we are working on capacity building for women, implementing new projects, new micro-business. So we have a lot to do. I did it from my position as the founder and president of this organization, but we are looking to be in decision-making position to do more and more.
So one doesn't think of Lebanon as a tourist destination. Where do the tourists come from who come to your city?
Lebanon is very well recognized as tourist destination, but unfortunately with the last very bad years that we spent on the bad situation and the war, the conflicts of the area that are very of the region that are affecting our country, unfortunately we have a bad tourism situation, but I think that it will be better and better now, and we have a very nice diversity. We are on the Mediterranean seaside, so we have the beach, we have the snow, we have the Bekaa where I am from. It's a plain, a valley. And it's very, very similar to Santa Fe. So I really feel that I am at home. And I learn a lot about your experience in the improving the tourism sector in the area. So it is a very nice experience for me in this field too.
Have you had any barriers as a woman in politics?
You know, it is not a real barriers, because we have the right to vote since 19, to vote and to be elected since 1953. But unfortunately, because of the many confessions and the presentation of the many confessions, it's such a quota for the confession, for the different 17th confession in Lebanon, and the patriarchal position, women didn't find really a position for her in the parliaments, because we have a very low percentage till now. Because I've been the representative of the Lebanese Council of Women, which is an umbrella of 170 NGOs, that work for the women issues and to implement the quota. Because you know the quota, it's such development countries, it is a way for us as women to be involved in the political life. But unfortunately, till now, we didn't get the quota, which is a percentage of representation of women in political office. And we are still struggling for these issues. But we hope that in the next parliament, we will see more women involved. But what we are looking for is to have more women now involved in municipalities at the local level. That's what we are doing to have in the first step for these next elections.
Dunya El-Khoury is founder and president of Women's Association of Deir el-Aman in Bekaa, Lebanon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now let's turn to Feriel Abu Hamdan. She is women's right and peace activist and former municipal council member. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about being a human rights and peace activist in Lebanon. What's the nature of your work and of that movement?
I am the project manager of the movement. We started our move. We have the peace and freedom movement in Lebanon since 1962, but we were not active during the many wars that we had. But since 2000, we started, we have a partnership with the Norwegian Wolf. So now we are working, we are progressing to do more work after we have this grant.
And so how are you building a peace movement in Lebanon?
We have 30 members in our organization, and our target group are the students from the universities, women students from the university from age 18 till 35, from all different regions of Lebanon.
As a municipal council member, tell us about your city and about what kind of issues that you face as basically a city councilor, the way we would have it set up.
I was in the election in 1998 till 2003, and I was the only woman in my municipality. We were 15 members. We had, because I am an architect, I had given my program, and that's why I had the highest votes number. And I succeeded in many things that I have done, mostly working with the farmers, issuing agricultural cooperative for them and for the women, too many organizations for handicrafts and money generating projects. And we had, because of the need of the people, we had to open many roads to connect the villages.
You were involved in an organic farming movement,
yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Because, you know, of the high price of the fertilizers, and the farmers already, they were not using it, but they didn't know anything about organic. So it was very easy for me to introduce them to the organic farming, especially to open the door for them to be involved or be part of the markets of organic farming and producing organic crops in Lebanon. And they are joining many markets in Beirut and in different areas.
Now, in Lebanon, of course, you have some of the effects of war, like destruction of the infrastructure, lack of electricity, things like that.
Yeah, that's very important for us because it makes life very difficult. Because, as you know, as a peace activist and human rights, we have to have a safe environment for everybody in Lebanon, and not just in our area. But because of all these conflicts and this regular bombing from Israel or from other civil wars, we always have this problem of the infrastructure destroyed. We try our best to have grants from either UNDP or from EU to, you know, to solve our problems, like in water or electricity and from the streets, and from USA.
Lebanon is a country with a lot of different regional identities. Do you have a national identity also?
Yes, we are. The problem in Lebanon that people don't feel this identity, the national identity, as much as they feel the regional identity. Because what happened in Lebanon, it's not intentionally, it just happened to be that each region region have different religion, and they are following the political leader. And that's why the problem in Lebanon, we don't have as much national identity as regional identity. And that's, as a human rights activist, we are working on it with to spread this by moving the women or other people from one region to another to have more friends and, you know, to have more communication with other religion parties or political parties.
Ferial Abu Hamdan is a human rights and peace activist and former municipal council member. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And let's turn now to Greta Ashkar. She is the campaign manager for her husband's run for parliament in Beirut.
Yes, hello.
Nice to see you again.
Thank you, Santomi.
So tell us about the nature of his political campaign and your participation in it.
Yes, I want to first of all introduce myself. Masood and I have a family of four kids. So my husband is involved in politics from 20 years almost. And I'm on the board of the college of my, a member of the board of the college of my children. So I had many contacts with the members of the school. And by time I thought that I can help my husband in campaigning his running for the parliament.
And so What is he campaigning on? What are some of the issues that the two of you together are putting forward?
Yeah, in our region in Beirut, it's the Christian part of Beirut. Sorry to say that, but it's like that in Beirut. You have the Christian part and the Muslim part. So my husband is involved deeply in his area, in helping citizens in schools, in healthcare, in education, in many fields. So he's very popular in his area, and he's very close to the people of this area.
What is it like for Christians in politics in Beirut?
Oh, it's very
divided.
Divided, yes, it's divided. And what can I mean,
you're a minority group.
Not really. In our area, no, we are majority. In our area, we are majority. But the conditions of the people in our area is mostly not so good in terms of money. So we have to. We don't have a big association to help these people. So we do it on our own initiative.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the specific issues that you're working on that is, are most difficult for the people whom you're trying to serve?
I told you, we serve our citizens of our area in social issues, especially social issues, because it's the most important.
For example?
For example, if a family wants to attend an hospital, they cannot do it. So they call my husband. He has his own contacts. In school, they cannot pay the school scholarship. So he has some funds to help them. For the work of some woman or man, he can help them and find some works because he has many contacts in Beirut and abroad.
So what do you think his chances are for succeeding in his run for parliament?
Yeah, this time he has very good chances. There is it's very strength as a campaign because there are two lists in this campaign, and each one is related to someone or a party or a movement in Beirut. So Christian part in our own area, he has very good chances to win this election.
What have you learned or seen in the United States that you're going to bring home?
Yeah, the social work especially, and the how to manage a campaign, door-to-door campaign, parties, healthcare, education, all the fields that can help someone to be close to the citizen of the area.
Greta Ashkar is campaign manager for her husband's run for parliament in Beirut, Lebanon. Thanks to all three of you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break right now. We'll be back in a moment. And continuing in our groups of women from Arab countries in the Middle East and North Africa, we've got two women from Yemen and their translator, Muataz, who is here with us. Welcome to the Radio Cafe. I'd like to introduce Valentina Mahdi, who's a council member for the General People's Congress Party. She's the Director of Inspection and Control at the Free Zone of Aden, and she will be running for the National House of Representatives in 2009. Welcome.
Thank you.
And so, how did you enter into politics?
I started politics back in 1978, especially in the southern part of Yemen. And I continued working in the political arena till today, even after the unity of Yemen.
And tell us about what it was like for you as a woman. Were there any barriers to your doing politics?
In the past, especially in the south, women had really an important role when it comes to social or the political spheres. But when it comes to holding leadership posts, it was only by appointment. But after the unity of Yemen back in 1990, women had the opportunity to run for offices and to run elections, whether on the local level or on the national level. And now we have also women ministers or women secretaries as well.
So what do you do as Director of Inspection and Control in the Free Zone of Aden?
Actually, this position is in the administration of the Free Zone or the Free Duty Zone. So I'm in charge of financial and administrative responsibilities. And the Free Zone or Free Duty Zone is at Aden, which is considered to be a very important place for investments in the worldwide. So this is a way to use the many facilities in Aden, and Aden also is considered to be a very strategic location. It's a link between the Western Hemisphere and the Eastern Hemisphere.
So what is the General People's Congress Party? What issues are they working on? What do they stand for?
First of all, we're calling on democratic government. And people should be ruled by people. And also to provide the cultural, social, economic, and political rights to everybody, and with a very simple ways and means. And today, Yemen is focusing on women empowerment in politics. So, and accordingly, the ruling government announced that they will allocate 15% of the political leadership positions for women. And also, I hope that we will see the participation of all different political parties in this process.
When you run for the National House of Representatives in 2009, what will be your campaign issues?
So first of all, the one first issue I'm going to work on, it is more related also to my province or my governorate, is to be able to participate in the in constituting or even amending some of the laws which are not serving the woman. And secondly, to provide all different rights to my citizens or constituency, and also the services we need in my neighborhood, especially when it comes to infrastructure. But at the end of the day, I will be representing all people of my country, Yemen, if I will be lucky and I will succeed.
Are you serving as a mentor for younger women following in politics?
First of all, I am also right now I'm a member of the Ma'alla municipality, which is in Aden governorate, and through this position I have a daily interaction with the citizens. And also to know firsthand what are the issues and how we can find solutions for the issues, plus also to be in a direct relation with the youth as well. Also, I supported the establishment of many youth organizations focusing on how to train our youth, because I believe that the youth are our future.
Valentina Mati is a council member for the General People's Congress Party, Director of Inspection and Control at the Free Zone of Aden, and she's running for the National House of Representatives in 2009. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shukran jazilan, ya sayyidati. Shukran.
And let's turn now to Mafuta Ibrahim. She is a community activist. She ran for House of Representatives at the national level and will try again in 2009. She's an independent candidate. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about the nature of your work as a community activist.
يعني ناشطة مدنية.
I'm an activist, a community activist in my city since 1988, and also I was the actually the head of the women committee at Bagel Directorate.
ومديرة مدرسة.
And also at one point I was the headmaster of one of the schools. And in 2003 I decided to run for elections. The parliamentarian elections, the national parliament elections, as an independent. To serve my people. Especially infrastructure, roads, education and health issues.
Tell us about your work with women in particular and what kind of problems that women are facing that make you interested in serving them politically.
The issues, I can say, first of all, education. The education. Health as well is an issue. Illiteracy.
When you say literacy, are women not able to read?
Yes, she's not able to read. يعني, let's say minimum level of literacy, reading and writing.
Tell us about your story. What was your education like?
I joined school, of course, and I received my high school diploma. But at this point, I couldn't continue because I faced some circumstances, so I couldn't continue my education. But now I have this extreme desire to continue my education and to enroll at one of the universities. And also to learn foreign languages, French and English languages, for example.
What is the nature of the women's movement where you come from? Are there women gathering together in political groups, in groups where they discuss their personal issues, things like that?
Yes, we do set meetings also and celebrations where we gather together. And also cultural seminars. And social events as well, where we sit together. So, and actually we tackle different issues, issues related to health or education or politics. And how we can encourage women to participate in politics as well.
When you talk about health, what are some of the specific women's issues? For example, is availability of birth control an issue? Is it available?
No.
No.
Awareness, the health awareness, in other words. Awareness, yes.
So if you are elected in 2009, what do you hope to do as a representative?
Well, I will do my best, of course, to again to provide my citizens with necessary projects. As I mentioned before, we need to pave more roads. We also need more health clinics and health centers. These are some of the things I will try to do and accomplish. And I think, honestly, that when women become leaders and they're lucky to achieve these positions, high positions, they will even conduct more, and they will be able to achieve more comparing to men. Because Yemeni women are famous to be very dedicated and very loyal to their mission.
Well, we want to thank both of you from Yemen, Mahfouta Ibrahim and Valentina Mahdi. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you to their wonderful translator, Muataz.
Thank you.
I'd like now to welcome from Algeria, Fatma Zora Chabati Mansouri. She is the Director of Training for the Ministry of National Education in Algeria. She's a women's rights activist, and she's leader of the National Democratic Relief Party, and so much more. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, and her translator Seth Hajbi is with us.
Thank you.
So tell us about your work, first of all, as a women's rights activist.
She's an active member of a non-profit civic society dealing with the rights of women, human rights of women in Algeria, as well as rights in general in Algeria. Currently, she's part of the leadership of an organization that deals with, actually an official organization that deals with the rights and the welfare of women and children. She's also a part of a labor union at the Department of Education, defending the rights of women in education. As an activist, she was able to help improve the level of women representation in the Algerian society, and in particular in the Ministry of Education as well.
What are some of the specific problems that Algerian women face?
En Algérie, nous n'avons pas un problème spécifique à la femme.
In Algeria, there is not issues facing women are not particular to Algeria. They are universal issues facing women: equality of pay, equality of access to opportunity, as well as access to leadership. Being given equal opportunity to prove themselves, whether it's in social, in society, at work, or in the government as well.
Parce que il faut revenir un peu en arrière, parce que en tant que musulmane,
to begin with, Islam, our religion, gives us the freedom and encourages us to be part, an active member of society at all different levels, whether it's within the family unit, within the society itself, as well as leadership of the country. However, men try to hamper those, our efforts to get to be leaders, as well as whether in society, civic society, or as well as in government, at the government level.
Parce que nous, dans notre mouvement féminin, on demandait une volonté politique pour.
To begin with, Islam, our religion, gives us the freedom and encourages us to be part, an active member of society. At all different levels, whether it's within the family unit, within the society itself, as well as leadership of the country. However, men try to hamper those, our efforts to get to be leaders, as well as whether in society, civic society, or as well as in government, at the government level. Women's desires are to actually be able to lead or be part of the leadership leading Algeria into the new century. The Algerian president recently has declared a proposal, or has made it a point to stress the need to have women leaders in society, and possibly, you know, a positive quota where they are allowed to parties to, in their leadership, as well as the government, to have a set number of, whether it's percentage or number of members in the government, as well as the political parties.
Tell us a little bit of your own story, how you decided to enter politics.
C'est très important et très intéressant. Je vous remercie pour cette question.
Thank you for the question. I used to be an apolitical person. I was not interested in politics, but in 1997 a new party was forming and I was asked to join it. The party that we were referring to is the one that you have mentioned in the introduction. She chose this party, she agreed and chose this party because of
the National Democratic Rally Party.
Correct. Because of the very specific and very painful period in Algeria, the decade of darkness, where there was so much violence, terrorist violence against the Algerian society from within, that pushed her to join this party because it was a progressive party.
And What did you feel that you could accomplish in politics, and what were you able to accomplish?
One of the things that that she personally felt that is needed is to be a member of this party, and in order to become a member of the parliament. But the bigger goal is to protect Algeria from violence, from terrorists that are destroying the Algerian society. One of the main reasons that she wanted to be part, join the political field is the fact that women were the targeted victims of terrorism in Algeria, and that she sought to be to join this strong party and become part of the parliament in order to fight against terrorists in Algeria.
Je ne voulais pas rater cette occasion pour faire entendre ma voix.
I could not let this opportunity to join this party and join the legislative body in Algeria in order to pass certain laws that protect the society, but in particular protect the Algerian woman, women's rights at every level.
Et je suis très heureuse de le dire parce que j'ai été l'une des premières femmes élues.
I'm happy to report that I was one of the very first women that was elected to parliament in a pluralistic election, not just one party. There's multi parties in Algeria. I was one of the very first women that won a seat in parliament.
Et grâce à ça, nous avons fait changer beaucoup de choses. Nous avons amendé le code de la famille.
Thanks to my position and others in the parliament, we were able to change the family laws in Algeria.
In what way?
Nous avons amendé certains articles en faveur de la femme.
For instance, in the case of divorce, in the past it used to be only men that could ask for, could file for divorce. They were able to change that, and now both sexes could. And once divorced, women, thanks to her efforts and others like her, women were able to keep their homes in the case of divorce. Thanks to her efforts within the legislative body, Algeria became one of the very first countries in the Arab world and in North Africa that was able to give citizenship to their kids. And traditionally, it's only the father that could pass on their citizenship to the kids. They were able, her and other members like her, female members, were able to pass a new, amend the law that allows citizenship to be passed on from mother to kids.
What are some of the other kinds of changes you'd like to make in the future?
Avant de passer à quelque chose de positif.
Before answering that question, I want to tell you a little story about within the my personal story about the in the legislative body.
Il y avait une chose très importante pendant que je faisais campagne électorale pour ma.
When she was campaigning for parliament, terrorists kidnapped her 7-year-old child. I'm sure you understand then my desire to make Algerian women's voices heard in my country and around the world, and especially after the events, the terrible events of 9/11, we have something in common in Algeria. I personally suffered from terrorism, and I can understand, but I also want the world to know the plight of Algerian women during the decade of darkness.
Et donc pour revenir à votre question, je
to answer your question, I don't want you to think that I have accomplished what I needed. I would continue to fight for the rights of women in Algeria throughout society, and I will also work hard to make sure that the president's recent pronouncements for to benefit women in society as well as in government to take effect.
Donc faire accéder les femmes à des postes décisionnels.
I will work hard to make sure that women are elected to local and national elected office as well as participate in decision making.
Fatma Zora Chabati Mansouri is director of training for the Ministry of National Education in Algeria. She's a women's rights activist and leader at the National Democratic Rally Party. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Merci, très bien.
And thanks to Seth Hajby, her wonderful translator.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can reach me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. And you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thank you so much to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.